It's a long way away there, isn't it?
That is a long way away.
Oh, well, it is good. It is good. It's good to be here, but God is good.
All the time.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Do you know what? We are just over halfway through our series in focusing on who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do. And are you getting excited?
Yes.
Good.
There you are.
Yeah, we've been reminded that he was here right at the beginning of creation. He was hovering over the waters. We've been reminded how in the Old Testament he was given and he came upon people at specific points for specific purposes. And then when Jesus came in declaring the kingdom of God was here. And when Jesus went back to his Father, he sent the Holy Spirit that was the promise that had been promised in the Old Testament, that the God's Spirit will be poured out on all people, men and women, young and old.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we've been reminded of the Holy Spirit's role in the community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how he enables us to share in the experience of the love the Father has for his Son, that we can experience that love and that we can experience love for Jesus. The Holy Spirit does that for us. And then last week, we focused on how the Holy Spirit gives gifts so that the church can be built together. And Carol, thank you for that picture, because that kind of sums up, really, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit is about bringing unity. It's not that we all do the same thing, but that we do what the Spirit has given us, and we do it together in unity. So, the bit of a mess of a song this morning is just a bit of a picture to us. We need to be listening to God's voice, listening to the Holy Spirit, so that what we do together is something beautiful, is building up God's house in his place. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to spend this time on focusing on the Holy Spirit. We want to encourage you. We want to encourage one another. We want to encourage each other to see and understand more about who we are, whose we are, and what that means for the way we live our lives. Now, had I not been speaking this morning, I would have got up and shared a one-minute story, but it's one of my illustrations, so I didn't share it then. Last week, I go walking with a group of ladies on a Thursday morning, and our priority is walking to a coffee shop. And often we walk through Queen's Park. Well, last week we walked through Queen's Park, and if you've been through Queen's Park in the last week or so, you'll have seen there's lots of baby goslings, baby ducks, and it's absolutely teeming with life. It's absolutely beautiful. Well, as we were walking around the park, one of my friends said, look here. There was this big rock just out outside the water, and there were these three little ducklings on this rock, and they were sort of getting to the water edge and then coming back like this, and then go over there and come back like this. And we stood there for about 10 minutes just watching these three little ducks sort of get to the water's edge and then come back again. And we then decided that actually we wanted our coffee more than to see what was happening with the ducks, so off we went. But on the way back, we thought, let's go and have a look and see what's happened. So we got back to this rock, and two of the ducks had gone, and we could see some ducklings in the water over there, so we hoped that's where they were, in the water. But there was still this one little duckling, and he was still going backwards and forwards like this, having a look and see. And it just made me think, you know, that's a bit like us. In terms of how our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we're not too sure, but actually that's what we're made for, to have a relationship, and a relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, if we are Christians, then, and if we say Jesus is Lord and look around this morning, I believe we all are, then we do have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Without the gift of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost, the disciples couldn't have continued meaningful Christian existence as we know it, the only way they could relate to Jesus after Jesus had returned to his Father was through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And actually, it was only after Jesus returned to his Father that they actually understood what Jesus was all about and what he meant to them. So it's through the Holy Spirit that any of us has any experience of Jesus at all. We only know Jesus because the Holy Spirit revealed him to us. And our life as a Christian is only possible because and through our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, a few years ago, when Keith and I took the family across to America, we drove from Las Vegas up to the Grand Canyon, and at that time, it was going across the Hoover Dam, and you actually drove across the Hoover Dam. You don't do that anymore because there's a new bridge, but you actually drive across the Hoover Dam. Being on top of the dam is amazing, quite scary. On the one side, you're sort of looking down, and there's sort of water almost at your feet. On the other side, there's a drop about 220 metres. I don't like heights. It's not good. But you know, there are two spillways on the Hoover Dam, and they control the release of water. But can you imagine if a crack appeared in that dam? You know, if a crack appeared in the dam wall, it's not long before that pressure of water is pushing through, and it'll make it bigger and bigger, and eventually the whole valley below will be immersed in water. Now, just bear with me a minute, because I just want to use this as a bit of a picture of what life in the Spirit or what we're trying to encourage us to understand. And a few weeks ago, I was talking about living in the now and the not yet, the fact that God's kingdom has come because Jesus brought it in, but it's not completely here. Well, it just occurred to me that actually this dam really helps, well, it helps me understand, hopefully it'll help you understand as well. If you imagine this big body of water is the kingdom of God, a bit like the kingdom of God, and in the Old Testament, the spillways were opened, so the Spirit was given to people for specific purposes. I don't go into this too deeply because, you know, with all analogies, it doesn't quite match up, but just go with me on this. When Jesus came, he was like one of the dam busters. He hit the wall, and he brought in the kingdom of God, and it was kind of the point at which there's no return. It's all that water's got to come forward now. So we are now living in the time where the dam wall has been broken, and you know, the water, the kingdom of God, God's Holy Spirit is coming. So just thinking about water, we need to learn to swim in the water like the ducks. Because actually, that's what we're made for. That's our natural habitat. And for a lot of us, we're sort of teetering on the edge. I'm mixing the metaphors here. Teetering on the edge there, not wanting to jump in, not wanting to get in. Now, for the Apostle Paul, because the Spirit was present with his people, the gifts of the Spirit were normal. They were as normal as breathing. And as we heard last week, they were intended for the building up of the church, building up of God's people. In the present, whilst we wait for God's kingdom to come in its entirety, come completely. So I don't want to do a lot of talking this morning, because I think we've heard lots about the Holy Spirit, and we need to be doing some action. But I do think we need a little bit of explanation. Firstly, I just want to say, we all have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's a fact. We all have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We are living in the age of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to enable the church, his body, his people, his bride, to be built up. And it's clear that in the New Testament community, worship, corporate worship, included extraordinary phenomena. And Paul uses different terms, but our translations mostly refer to spiritual gifts. If you've been alert this morning, if you've been listening to what Rachel's been talking, how Rachel's been talking and what she's been encouraging us to do, she used words like, if somebody's got a tongue, she said if somebody's got prophecy, maybe you're thinking, I don't know what she's talking about. Well, hopefully, at the end of today, we'll all understand what that means. Some of the words that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, where we've got spiritual gifts, the Greek word is charismata, which literally means gracious giftings. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, there's another Greek word that's used, pneumatika, which means special abilities, the spirit gifts, it's things of the spirit. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10, it's what's called manifestations of the Spirit, which in this context mean different ways in which the Spirit shows himself when the community is gathered together. Paul's point here is that the community needs diversity. Whilst we're to be in unity, there's still a diversity amongst us. Well, actually, you just need to have a look around to see we are a very diverse group of people. We've all got different clothes on, we've got different hairstyles. And so it is with how the Spirit relates to us. And as Rachel was saying when we were looking at the verse from Psalm 34, we will all hear different things because we're different people and our tastes are different. And God has made us that way. Isn't that amazing? God has made us to be so different and yet to be one, to be in unity. So in these three chapters that we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks, 1 Corinthians, particularly two chapters, 12 and 14, Paul's not giving instruction on the meaning and use of these gifts or these manifestations. What he's doing is giving a correction because, as I said earlier, the gifts of the Spirit were just as common as breathing in, breathing out. That's because Jesus had returned and the Holy Spirit had come. That's how the community related. That's how they were living their lives. So Paul's assumption is that these gifts, these things of the Spirit, these manifestations are all happening because Jesus has returned to his Father and the Holy Spirit has been sent to his people to enable his people to continue the ministry of Jesus. So briefly, I want to focus on two of the manifestations that Paul talks about. And actually, there are two things that Rachel has encouraged us to engage in this morning already. And Paul talks of how they can help us live our Christian lives, or going back to the earlier illustration of the ducks, how we can stop hopping around on that rock and get into where we are made to be. So, prophecy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, let love be your highest goal. Now that is important. Let love be your highest goal. He has a brief pause from chapter 12 to chapter 14, and the whole chapter 13 is about love, how love is the highest goal. And why is that? Because the Father loves. The Father loves his Son, and the Father loves us. So love is the highest goal. So let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities that the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. What do we mean by prophecy? Well, in this context, I believe it's speaking out God's word. There are those who have a specific ministry of prophecy who are particularly attuned to God's heart for situations and people, and we have some in our congregation. But I think what Paul is encouraging us here is about listening to God's voice and what he is saying. And we had a practical session this morning, already doing that, haven't we? We're using God's written word to listen to his voice and see what he was saying to us. And I think we're often put off by terminology. You don't have to be convinced of what God is saying to be able to say things like, thus saith the Lord, or the Lord says. And you don't have to be that convinced. Often it could be no more than, I think God is saying, or I think God has shown me, or even, I just sense. We can use our minds, and should use our minds, to decide if what we've heard is from God or not. Firstly, it will never, ever contradict his written word. If you're hearing something and you're wondering, is this of God or is something else influencing what I'm hearing? Go to the Bible. If it contradicts what God says in his word, then it's not of God. And then secondly, Paul reminds us that the gifts are given for the building up of the church. So if we feel we're sensing a word of correction or something like that, then it probably needs to be shared personally, not in public worship, and actually probably needs to be shared with the leaders, with the elders as well. Scripturally, we have a responsibility to discern God's word. So there's always a safety net, if you know what I mean. If you think you're hearing something, then if it doesn't contradict God's word, if you're still unsure, talk to one of the elders, talk to somebody you trust. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3, the one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. There's nothing magical about prophecy, there's nothing magical about hearing God's voice. In fact, it should be as natural as breathing. You know, one of the reasons we persist with our 1 minute stories on a Sunday morning is we want to encourage each other to be conscious during the week of hearing God, of seeing God. And it might just be little ways. I might be guilty of plagiarism here, but I can't remember who it was who said, it was Pete Gregg at Spring Harvest. He said he'd gone out for a walk and wanting to hear God, and he felt God say, stop and look at that tree. So he stopped and he looked at the tree and he said, yeah, God, what about it? And he was just standing there for a bit, and after a while he felt God say, isn't that tree amazing? That was it! Isn't that tree amazing? So, I mean, God is interested in every aspect of our lives, and actually, his creation, you know, he made that tree, so why shouldn't he think it's amazing? It's his handiwork. So let's be aware that we can listen to God in all aspects of our day. He'll be encouraging us, he'll be speaking to us. So 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. It's what encourages us personally and encourages us together as God's people. So before I excitedly go on, are there any questions? Anything you want to ask? Or anything you're unhappy about? You know, this is a safe place. You can ask your questions. I'm quite prepared to say I don't know. no questions yet. Okay, let's eagerly desire to prophesy then, and let's not think that it's something that's amazing. It's not a badge of honour to wear. It's just about how we relate to our Father God, how we let the Holy Spirit help us love Jesus, how we let the Holy Spirit, how he helps us live our daily lives. That's what it's about. It's not about being a better Christian or being a different class of Christian. It's just about our relationship. So, let's move on briefly then to tongues. Tongues. Do you know what I mean by tongues?
Speaking a different language.
Yeah, and I think the tongues that Paul is speaking about here is not a human language, so it's not a known language. When at Pentecost, you'll remember that when Peter and the other disciples came and spoke, the people from all the different nations heard them speaking in their own languages. Now, that's one particular gift of different languages, but there's also a gift of what we would generally call tongues, which is, it's not necessarily a particular human language, it's just a language that we can use to pray, and we can use in personal prayer. Now, the passage in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is giving some guidance in using tongues, because tongues, if somebody came in this morning who was an unbeliever, and we were all shouting out in this strange and wonderful language, they might mistake us for a group of, I don't know, a sect or something. So Paul's directions here are about how we are sensitive. And I read in the Guardian, well, I didn't read in the Guardian, I read an article that was in the Guardian, I don't read the Guardian, that was interviewing the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welbeck. Do you know, he prays in tongues for 5 minutes every day.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, no, neither did I until I read it, but there you go. Right, well, we can use tongues in our personal prayer. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Now, again, there's particular Greek words that we can pick up to see how they cross over with other bits of scripture. Matthew 6:6, when you pray, it's the same Greek word, proskoumai, or something, you don't need to know that, but it is the same Greek word. When you pray, go into your room, shut the door and pray, same word again, to your Father who is in secret, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you in secret. So that's the same Greek word for pray in 1 Corinthians 14:14 and Matthew 6:6. Romans 8:26-27 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray, that's the same Greek word, for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You know, when words fail us, we can pray in tongues. We don't have to stop. We can pray in tongues. Since the Spirit knows our situation, his prayers will always be in complete harmony with God's will. Now, a few months ago, when I was visiting my mum, she was quite agitated because she was wanting, we pray together most times I visit, but she was wanting to pray for the wider family, but she felt she didn't know what to pray, and she was getting really quite agitated about it. And I said to her, look, Mum, why don't you use the language God has given you? Because he knows what you want to pray about. If you can't put it into words, just use the language God has given you. So we started off in English, and then the two of us just started praying in tongues. And you could just see the anxiety just release out of her. And we were praying for about 10, 15 minutes. And at the end, she was at peace because she had prayed. She didn't know, she didn't have the words to pray, but she knew what she wanted to pray for. And she allowed the Holy Spirit to use the language that he'd given her to pray in that situation. There's another word. 1 Corinthians 14:16 says, if you give thanks, and that's eulogio, with your spirit, and if you're doing that in tongues, how could anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to the thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? So that's Paul just giving a bit of a, you know, just, if you're praising in tongues and an outsider comes in, what kind of picture is that going to give? But that then means to say that actually they were praising in tongues. So why not use tongues in our personal prayer? So eulogio, that means to praise, celebrate with praises. If you just think about God, who he is, what he has done, actually, your thinking will not even get off the ground, because we do not know him. He is too vast to be known. So how on earth can we praise him with our own language? How on earth can we give him all the praise and glory that's due to him just by using the words that we know. Sometimes we cannot express that sense of joy, of elation, of excitement that's within us. And then just breaking into tongues can be a huge blessing. We can praise God in our native language, but when words are not enough, we can praise God in the language the Spirit gives us. And we can sense God's richness in the presence when we pray in tongues and speak in tongues. Praying in tongues can be so useful, so beneficial, so encouraging in our own personal time of prayer. So, you're sat there thinking, yes, but Rachel said, yeah. Rachel said, if you have a tongue, if you'd like to bring it. Now, in public worship, Paul's advice was, if somebody has a tongue, to come and bring it, and then we're to have an interpretation. So, if that's the case, and there are people here who do not know the Lord, we'll hear the tongue, but then we will hear the interpretation as well. And we need to understand that speaking in tongues or speaking in this angel language is completely under our control. It doesn't just come upon us, it's under our control. We can stop and we can start when we want to. We're not taken over by it. The Holy Spirit doesn't take over us. It's a gift he's given us. So Paul says, for this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. Now, a couple of weeks ago, at the Good News for Swindon service, joint service at Gorse Hill, we had a word in a tongue. And then what happened? We stopped and waited for someone to bring interpretation. And we had two people, in fact, bring interpretations. And it was interesting because Keith was saying that he felt a sense of what was being said. So there's not just... it's not just like a word-for-word interpretation, but there'll be a kind of a sense of the words that are being said. So, and often, in the context of worship, corporate worship, if a tongue is brought, then it usually is directed at God. It's not usually a word of knowledge or a word of correction or whatever. If a tongue is brought, it's usually directed towards God. So it's about worship, it's about wanting to lift him high and focusing on who he is. So 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, let love be your highest goal. Love is our highest goal. Love. Love of Jesus. Love of Father God. Love of one another. The love that brings us together in unity. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives. I want to encourage each one of us here this morning to desire the special abilities the Spirit gives. Not to wear as a badge of honour or the next step up, but as a means to enter more fully into God's love. God's love for us. God's love for his world. Does anybody want to ask any questions about tongues? Yeah.
Could I say something about... many years ago, when I went to Lee Abbey, I have never spoken in tongues. And if you hear someone, even if they're praying quietly, then sometimes you think, oh gosh, what are they doing? And I have never spoken in tongues up to that point. And I can't remember who was leading, but what he said to us, and there was a small group of us who wanted to speak in tongues. And he said to us, you can all do it. And I was sitting there thinking, I've never done this before. Is it going to be hard? Am I going to be able to do it? What am I going to do if I'm the only one here who can't do it? And all these things were going through my mind. And the man said, What I want you to do, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to really pray that you would be able to speak in tongues, and I want you to speak, all of you, I want you all to speak out together. But he said, what I don't want you to do, I don't want you to speak in your own language. No pressure. So we sat there, and it was amazing. Because knowing that you, he'd said, don't speak in your own language, you were then thinking, yeah, this is it. A bit like those ducks, you know? You're on the edge of the rock, and you're thinking, yes, I can do this. I can do this. I can. And I did. And all the other people there did. Wow. And I have used it since. And there have been times, and many of you will know, in our family, there have been awful times when all I could do, because my heart just could not find the words, all I can do is not shout out, but just speak in that special language that God has given to me to be able to communicate to him and for him to speak back into my heart the things that I needed to hear. So I hope that helps somebody.
Thanks, Lauren. And we're reading Jackie Pullinger's experience. I just have this picture of a bowl of oranges or something. But I remember her wanting this language, and she just started praying Jesus, 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 over and over again. And for a while, that's all she said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But she then began to praise in tongues. So it's not something we conjure up, but it is something that the Holy Spirit does give us. Now, I do want to give an opportunity for us all to receive what God, His Holy Spirit, has for us. So let me just ask first, does anybody feel that they've heard something from God? Does anybody feel or sense that God wants to say something? Maybe it might have been from the verse we were reading earlier on. You didn't really feel brave enough to come and share, or didn't get the opportunity.
But one thing that came to me was, you can't experience, you can't see before you taste. And to taste is an action of the will. You know, you can look at something forever and not taste it. But if you want to taste it, then you've got to taste it. It's an act of the will. Now, when I began to speak in tongues, I found it incredibly difficult. But I was determined that it was going to happen. And you might almost say that I made it up. I didn't make it up, but it felt as if I was making it up. There were things coming in my mouth that I thought, well, this is rubbish. What are you doing? This is just rubbish. But it wasn't rubbish. That was the enemy just telling me it was rubbish. So, and then once it began, I can do it anytime I wish, for how long I wish. I can start, I can stop. But that initial beginning of it was an effort of the will. Yeah. God didn't suddenly flow it through me. He didn't sort of pour something out of me. I had to do it. And so, just do it. You know, make it up. Start, if it feels like you're making it up, that's fine. God's in charge. And he doesn't want anything untoward or wrong or bad or damaging or stupid. He's a God of love, and this spirit just wants to love you through your language. So yeah. I can't say any more than that, really.
I think if you speak to those of us who do speak in tongues, we'll tell you the benefits it is for our personal worship life and whatever. But I have to say, there are some amazing spirit-filled people who do not speak in tongues. So please don't think, you know, we're saying you've got to do this. You know, it is a manifestation of the Spirit in us to help us. But there are people who are, as I said, you know, fantastic spirit-filled Christians who do not speak in tongues.
I Recently we've been on holiday, and when we were on holiday we went to a cathedral, and so it was in Bulgaria, so it was an Orthodox church, and I was sat down, I think you were going around, and suddenly we heard this singing, and it was singing in obviously Bulgarian. Well, I assume it was Bulgarian, and I didn't understand it at all, and I don't speak in tongues or anything like that, but it just felt very peaceful to me, very it's really difficult to describe, but I felt a real sense of, and I thought that this must be some holy person seen, you know, in a robe, and when I turned around, it was just an ordinary guy in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt singing in a church, and his voice and what it meant to me, you know, just came to me. Now, I, as I said, I don't speak in tongues, I've never done it, it's not been something that's for me, but that just, even though I didn't know what he was saying, it gave me thoughts of what was being said. So, you know, I assume that he was speaking in Bulgarian, but it just felt really, it just felt really peaceful.
Oh, thank you, Louise. Mm. That's really helpful. Yeah. Right. So this is the moment. I'm going to ask you to stand up, and if you'd like to receive more of the Holy Spirit this morning, I'd just ask you to stand and pop your hands out. And actually, if speaking in tongues, you kind of feel, well, you know, what is this about? Perhaps I'd like to just experience it and see if it's going to be something that's going to be helpful with me, for me, then let me pray. And let's ask. Paul says, ask for the gift. You need to ask for them. As I said, it's the Holy Spirit doesn't impose things on us. We need to ask. So why don't you stand? If you want to receive more from the Holy Spirit this morning, let's put our hands up. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning. We welcome you here. We ask that you would come and be amongst us. We ask that you would just pour out your spirit on us. Pour out your power.